You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to the Light Show. My name is Dr. Kate DeVries. I work for the Archdiocese in the Young Adult Ministry Office. We are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, and it is a joy to be with you today, as always. And I am here with my co-host, the Director of the Young Adult Ministry Office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
Good morning, Kate. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm just wondering if everybody is weary with winter.
We've had just about
if
enough.
If it doesn't snow, we get beat up by the cold, one way or another.
Would have been different if the Bears had been in the Super Bowl, but...
but we thank you all for being a listening audience there today. And Kate, I think we've got something special cooked up.
We have a great show planned. We are talking about the phenomenon of young adults and young adults in the Catholic Church and people being connected and people getting more connected. And we really want to offer some practical pastoral strategies for parishes in terms of getting more young adults connected at a deeper level.
And the background for this has an awful lot to do with what is coming forth from the Archdiocese. Namely, there's a strategic plan for the next 5 to 6 years and how our church is going to approach a whole group, different groups of people. And the first year, beginning in July, we're talking about our approach to jóvenes, adolescents, and the early years of young adults, up to around 24 years of age. So that would be college-age people, whether they're in college or not, post-college, people who are beginning to settle a little bit, getting into jobs and careers, perhaps for the first time, and what their relationship to church is. And then the next year, the strategic plan of the diocese is to focus on Sunday Mass. But so if we're going to begin, and the first part of the strategic plan is to focus on, part of it is on young adults, we thought, my God, let's bring in the scholars. And so what we're going to do today on our monthly radio show and what we're going to continue next month on our radio show is what we've called a radio roundtable. And it's actually an oblong table as I look around here, so we'll call this a radio oblong table. But we're privileged, Kate, to have a number of people with us today, 5 in number, who are a part of the of our department in the diocese. That's the Department of Parish Life and Formation. And what we're going to do is today is from their experience in ministry, what are some of the observations that they bring to the table and therefore bring to the church about the whole phenomenon of young adults and young adult Catholics. There's no secret here that they're not in a foot race always to be the first to get it to Mass on Sunday, but yet they have a high degree of altruism. They lead very caring lives, and they talk about being spiritual, and yet they struggle sometimes with the phenomenon of religion. And yet at the same time, those who are young and who are coming from other parts of the world, the church is really a first connection and a real important part of their own, literally, their physical, spiritual journey through life. So we're going to try to touch on all of these. So as we do that, Kate, we should have our guests introduce themselves.
Yes, we should. But first, I want to preface this by saying, if you are a young adult listening, we invite you to just listen for strategies that your parish and other parishes can use to get your peers more connected.
Right.
And if you're not a young adult, if you can help us in our mission and ministry to find young adults, to invite them personally, to give them a better sense of church, that's what this is all about.
Exactly.
So,
and if you are listening and your grandchildren are young adults or your own children, we will upload this to our website. And that website is yamchicago.org. And maybe what you can do is download that to your computer or to a CD and maybe take it to your parish staff and say, here's some wisdom about this wonderful generation of people. And then when we gather next month, we'll do the same thing. Here's some wisdom from these people in the Department of Parish Life and Formation and how our parish might be able to be a little bit more effective and aware of this wonderful age group of Catholics.
Yes, yeah, so let's do some introductions. I'm going to start. Father, can we let you take the microphone, introduce yourself, and let us know a little bit about you?
So thank you, and thank you for inviting me for this great show. And so I'm Father Marco Mercado, and I'm the director of the Office for Hispanic Ministry. And this office is also in charge of the youth ministry, Hispanic youth ministry, and the diocese. So it is my privilege being here today. And as I was said, we cannot talk about Hispanic ministry without talking about youth ministry, knowing that 60% of our community in the Hispanic community is 20 years old and younger. So it is extremely important. I'm so glad that we are talking about this and we are trying to get some wisdom and to know from the different experiences that we have in our different departments and how we're working together in order to reach out for this, community, this young community that, well, this is not new for anyone, that it's normal that when we're young, we don't like to go to church. At least that was my case. When I was a teenager, I didn't like to go to church. Thanks God, my mom took me to church every sure. Sunday. That was one of the non-negotiables. And and I'm glad, even though back in that time I wasn't, now I am, and now I'm even a priest. So
there you go.
That's good. There's a great transition. Yeah.
So, that was quite a change. So, but this is who I am, and the office I'm here, and thank you once again for inviting me.
Now, Marco, prior to your being appointed by the Cardinal as director of the Office for Hispanic Catholics, you came out of parish life, didn't you?
Yeah, I got the perfect life. I was having the time of my life at Good Shepherd in Little Village. I was pastor there for 8 years, having a wonderful time, and one of the most beautiful things that I remember about being a pastor was able to work with our youth group. We have quite a large youth group and a very large teenagers group. And that was the life of the parish. And great. Also was a great resource for the different ministries. That was so beautiful, having community ministers, lectors, ushers, and all of ministries having young people and teenagers right. involved. So that was something so beautiful. So yeah, my background was 8 years in a parish as a pastor. And I really miss that time, and I cannot wait to get back to our parish.
There you go. Good, good. Now, one of the newest offices, Kate, in the Archdiocese of Chicago, set up by Cardinal George, was the Office of Immigrant Affairs. Mm-hmm. And I believe it'll be officially about 2 years that the office, and we're delighted today that several people are with us from there, and the director, Elena Segura.
Okay, I'm very pleased to be here, and of course, this is a wonderful opportunity to be in this forum, and I love when Father Cusack is the one who is wonderful bringing people together, and many times so we tend to work as, you know, as individual offices or ministries, when in reality we are interconnected. That's the body of Christ, so I'm very pleased about that. I'm Elena Segura, as I said. I'm from Peru. I've been here since 1984. At that time, I was a young adult, and who I am, anything you wanted to ask. I'm a new Catholic. I just became Catholic 5 years ago, and it was as a result of, even though I was working in the Archdiocese for already at that time, 6-7 years, I've been at the Archdiocese for 11 years now. It was a long journey, I think. It's a very powerful journey, and for me, the Catholic Church is one of the best secrets and available to all of us, and even within our Catholic Church ourselves, there's a lot of work of evangelization to do. Every time when I am very close to the the gifts, when I discover the gifts of this tradition and also the realities of this faith, I'm just so grateful to have the privilege to renew my life in a daily basis and to really seek God in new ways and in this society. And so that has been my journey. And I have also the connection why, you know, in the immigrant community, as Father Marco said, there is a lot of youth, young adults, and there's a lot of ministry to work with the second, third generation, and Marie-Lou is an expert on that. And there is a lot of things that we can do. But at the same time, our ministry in the Office for Immigrant Affairs is not just among immigrants. It really is to educate the non-immigrant community, the church in general, about the realities of immigrants. And that in that area, we see a lot of potential of non-immigrant people, young adults, the ones who really are respond to this the issue of immigration. That I can share with you later on, sure, from the non-immigrant perspective, what things have been done and what could be done in this setting. So I'm very pleased about that. And here is Marie Lou.
I'm Mary Lou Gonzalez. I'm also with the Office of Immigrant Affairs, and I'm the Education Coordinator. That's the official title. I'm a born Catholic, you know, born into it. My parents were immigrants themselves and undocumented. You know, it's interesting, Father Marco mentioned the fact that, you know, he didn't want to go to Mass. I wanted to go until I turned 17. and then when I turned 17, I used to tell my father I would go, but I wouldn't go. And I think that is still part of the world today, you know, without a doubt, as Catholics. Sure. And then I got married very young. I was 19 when I got married, and I'm still married, thanks Yay. Be to God. And the reality of it is I started to get involved in the church in my 20s.
Okay.
So my ministry started in the 20s.
Very good.
And that was a changing point in my own life. So that was a critical piece of the puzzle. And I'm looking forward to talking about the young adults, especially the second and third generation Latinos, because I'm part of that.
And you hit on something, the critical nature of people's 20s. And so many people are looking. And how do we make them feel welcome when they sort of think that, no, there's nothing here for me? Good. Yeah. Our wonderful dear friend, Rita Kattner. Kate, you and I go back with Rita.
We love Rita.
We love our friend Rita.
Always
enjoy
Rita. Yeah. 30 years ago. What a
lead-in. 30 years. So.
30 years. Since you 30 years we've been involved.
And we're still walking. We still haven't talked.
Yeah.
How did I get involved? As the others have said, I as a child, we went to church all the time. And my mother was very big on daily Mass. This is the way it is. And sometimes as a child, I would pretend like I was sleeping so Ma would leave me alone on a day off. But if she saw you awake, you went to Mass. But, you know, as others were saying, in my 20s, I kind of wandered away from it. And I wasn't really sure I wanted to be Catholic. I didn't know if I believed in the Catholic Church. And I tried different kinds of places because somehow I always found myself going to some kind of a church or looking around. I really didn't know what I wanted. A couple things that got me back into the church was the SPREAD program because they had a great formation process, and that process was a nice thing for me because I learned about different things and that God even loved us. So that was a really good thing. That kind of brought me back into the church, and the other part was it was really kind of that. And then a few people I met, because a lot of people at church, as others, I didn't find anything in the church as a single woman in the church. Everything seemed to be around family life. And I remember going, I said, well, you know, there's nothing here for me. And they're like, well, if you want something here for yourself, you'll have to create it. I wasn't sure how to do that. Because most of my friends had also wandered away, or they were married and moved away. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't find a way. And then as time went on, I've been in various ministries, but I was in between jobs, and there was an opening in the church, and I had been working there part-time because I worked in a settlement house with little money. I made very little money. And the only way I could sustain myself was to have a part-time job elsewhere. And there was an opening, and I did any kind of work they wanted me to do, you know, office work, which was not my love. and then there was this opening for an office called the Office for the Laity and being a lay person. I was interested, but I didn't really want the job. They kept asking me to take it, and I said no, because if I find money, I'm going back to the settlement house where I worked. I loved it there. We made little money, but it was a wonderful place. And then I said, all right, if I'm going to work there, I'm not going to get involved. I'm just going to do the 9-to-5 thing. That lasted 1 week. And next thing I know, I'm doing night meetings, weekends. Nonstop. Anyhow, that's all, kind of how I got started. And time went on. And then eventually I became the director. It took 5.5 years as acting director when they decided a woman could be a director. Mm-hmm. And
wow. Were you the first woman, Rita, to take that position of a director here of an agency in the Archdiocese, do you know?
Or there was just a couple of them. Okay. There was a couple other things. Yeah, okay. You know, like the divorce, there was a woman.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Now, Rita, you're currently the director of the Office of Councils.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And what does that involve?
Yeah. You really look over parish governance and you help people, parish councils and...
Yeah, I work with parishes a lot, which I absolutely love, to help them get started with councils, to reform them, and help people see that there's a role for the laity. I mean, the church cannot just be the clergy or the religious. It's all of us. The church is all of us. From baptism, we're called to it. Mm-hmm. So I do help work with the parishes, and little by little, there are certain parishes where there are a lot of young adults, so you may see some young adults on the councils, mm-hmm. simply because the parish is basically young adults. A lot of other places, I find it hard to get the young adults involved or convince the people in the parish they need to start inviting them, because down the line, we're not going to have a church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so they need to start inviting these
people. So when we start talking about this phenomenon, and when we next month return to talk about how we can help parishes, the wisdom we'd like to hear from you is, how do we get these younger voices heard in a decision-making process to pastors, pastoral staffs? And we have to keep in mind that 30, 40 years ago in the Archdiocese of Chicago, the active Catholics were 25 to 45. And today, their voices are probably not even being heard in many, many places. Not all, but whatever. Lastly, with us, and we always, you know, save the good wine.
Oh, wow.
Elsie Radke is a wonderful person in our archdiocese and been one of the great friends of Young Adult Ministry and one of the speakers in Theology on Tap for a long time. Elsie, good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Kate. Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this very august gathering. I certainly hope that we can bring something today to our listeners that are going to help them provide a greater presence in our church for young adults. I'm a mother of young adults, so I know of how difficult it is to engage my children in the faith. And myself, I come to this job, I've been in my position at Family Ministries for almost 14 years, well, I guess it is 14 years now. I coordinate divorce and annulment support ministry. In the past couple of years, I've been working on step family ministry. It's all about relationships. It's about how you connect in your family, how you grow in your faith through your family. And unfortunately, we have a very fractious culture that doesn't necessarily allow the home to be intact and nurture the faith. And I talk to young adults at Theology on Tap. I get a lot of calls from young adults, and such good people, and they're looking to find a way to fit into this church. They want to be heard. And I kind of did go to church. I was the oldest in a family of 10, so of course I was expected to set a good example. While my sisters and brothers would be going to Mickleberry's for a Sunday breakfast, and I'd be bringing them bulletins, it was a different time. It was a different era. And I just came to this practice in the family ministries office because of what I've seen is happening in families as a school teacher. And I saw the kids that couldn't learn because life at home was so crazy. And so how do you have a relationship with God when you've never even seen a healthy relationship in the home?
Wow. Wow.
And current social science research is actually proving that to be quite the quandary. So I have a great passion for helping people have the relationships they'd like and helping them to overcome the obstacles. You know, we don't have to be, our future doesn't have to be predictive of our past. So I'm looking forward to what we're going to come up with today.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you all.
And you are listening to The Light Show, hosted today by Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and our guests from the Department of Parish Life and Formation. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
The faith home of more than 2 million Catholics. During the next half hour, we'll hear about the strategic pastoral plan, a blueprint for evangelization. And we'll talk with Cardinal Francis George about the virtue of love and the key role it plays in the lives of Catholics every day.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Dr. Kate DeVries, Father John Cusick, and our guests from the Department of Parish Life and Formation. We are talking today about young adults and their connection to the church, our connection to the church, and we are going to continue that conversation.
And we're going to break it open. One of the things we commented on during the break, and I think sometimes the greatness of radio is what you do not hear, and that is the things that we talk about during the break. And I made the comment as I listened to all of our wonderful guests from our department that everybody had some kind of restlessness through their teenage years. You know, Father Marco saying, I don't want to go to church, and here he is, pastor for 8 years. it's quite the trend. I don't want to do this. Well, now you're leading it, pal, you know. And by the grace of God, you've been ordained, and everybody. And so I just think, Kate, what I'd like to do is just roll out two words and let people out of the experience of life in ministry begin to react. And those two words are young adult. And that certainly bleeds down, Father Marco, as you mentioned, 60%, six out of 10 people that we see with our eyes who are Hispanic in the Chicago area are under the age of 20 years. And then if you add in 20 to 25, you're probably talking 80%.
Yep.
8 out of 10 are very, very young. That's an amazing thing. So here are the two words, young, adult, go at it. What do you think?
Ladies first.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Father Michael.
Okay, and so Mary Lou Gonzalez is at the microphone.
I think from my experience, and this is my experience based on working with you and doing the presentations in Theology on Tap, and also my experience in campus ministry when I was at the University of Notre Dame. The young adults in particular really want to be part of the decision making. They want to be able to say, I was able to create that. You know, Rita actually talked about that a little bit, where she said, the pastor said, well, there isn't anything for you, but you can create it. And I think the young adults really want that. They really want to create that. And I've seen that through the work I did with the University of Notre Dame. I've seen it in Theology on Tap when I do the presentations. Their hunger and their willingness to be open and vulnerable and accepting. No different than what it was for all of us.
Correct.
You know, to kind of throw it out there and say, okay, there is no dumb question. You know, the only dumb question is the one we don't ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so virtually, I do think that's a big piece of it. I also have had the experience of traveling with young adults to the border in Mexico, which is part of, you know, our office ministry itself. And that is a process of transformation and conversion, mm-hmm. you know, because they're in charge of the trip. You know, my task is to just kind of connect all the dots when they're out there. But they're the ones that are asking the questions. They're the ones that are journaling. They're the ones that are reflecting. So it becomes theirs. And they become an active part in a ministry that perhaps they didn't even realize was a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask the tough questions of me and of others. And I think sometimes we have to be able to answer those tough questions.
Sure.
As someone answered those questions for me in my young adult's life.
In that journey with you down to the border areas, it hits that sense that I think is almost innate in a lot of younger people. We used the word earlier, altruism. I think there's almost a built-in thing that younger people want to do good. I think they do want to make some kind of a contribution to the world in which they live.
But they are doing good.
Elsie Radke?
They are doing good.
Yes, and that's what I mean. Yes.
I think when you look at any of the donor profiles, they are the most generous givers financially. They have financial wealth. They want to give. We are not involving them because I think sometimes our generation, and I'm talking about baby boomers here, I think sometimes we don't know how to zip it up and let the wisdom, our wisdom is our wisdom, let their wisdom emerge. I know that the very things that I'm hearing Mary Lou and Rita say, and it was my experience too, when I was a young mother in my 30s, I saw many things missing in my church, in my local parish church. And when I asked about it, I was looked at as if, well, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. So then I found advocates in the church that were willing to have the conversation. What are we offering during summer school? All the non-Catholic churches have summer school, Bible school. We were one of the very first parishes under my direction to do that, and I was mm-hmm. like 34 years old at the time.
Sure.
So I think we really have to step aside and empower younger people instead of directing them. Leadership isn't telling people what to do. I have a Paulist priest friend who once told me that good leaders look at where the crowd is going and then run like hell to get in front of them. And sure. So if we look at where young people want to go, they do have faith. What they don't do is public practice. They tend to be more subtle, has been my experience. People that do wonderful things, they maybe are in a tutoring program, perhaps they're a catechist. I know at our parish, the liturgy for the children is all young people. It's powerful. And I believe they were called, and I believe the leadership in that parish stepped aside and said, well, let's see how they do. And they're doing great. When sure. I see 40, 50 little kids running up wanting to hear the word broken open, that's powerful. And that's not led by me. You know, the old lady, it's led by the younger people, and I think we have to celebrate that and empower that.
Sure. Sometimes we forget that young adults are adults.
That's
and
right.
they are yes. fully That's capable. Right. They have great jobs, many of them, the fortunate ones. Many have wonderful jobs doing incredible things with their lives. And then they come to church and they see the leadership positions many held by people so much older than they are and think that church is set up so that the senior members of the church are the ones that have the power. The senior members are the ones who make the decisions, and I'm not there yet. So I don't have that voice, which is why, you know, Rita, when we talk about parish governance and the importance of letting young adults' voices be heard, it's so important, so key.
Kate. I think that sometimes if we just allow ourselves to let them touch us,
Yes.
And they're willing to touch.
Yeah.
And which is a bigger challenge, I think, for all of us who are in seasoned ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, that we don't let them touch us, you know.
Sure. You know, just as we heard one another's stories at the opening of this conversation today, we need to hear their stories.
That's right.
We need to hear their experience.
But see, we need their presence. When Father Marco was talking about looking back for the time he was at Good Shepherd, and he talked about, at the beginning of our show, how so many younger people, he named the places where they were active, lectors. When we can have that sense on a Sunday morning or Saturday night mass of walking in, and there's an intergenerational group of people who are a part of things, there's a congregational vitality that young people bring to the equation. I'm 65 years old. I have a great vitality, but you don't somehow have the imagination you once had as a young person. Mm-hmm. And I had a dear friend, Marco. He taught at the seminary, Dr. Richard Issel, for many, many years. And he said, when people walk in on Sunday, who do they see that is involved? Do they see all older people? Then if they do, you cannot get up there and say, we are here for all of our people. No, because the only ones involved are older people.
Right.
And so you hit it right on the head. How did you do that?
Well, first, I wasn't afraid of listening to them and to tell them not to be afraid to ask the questions. Because when we are young, we have a lot of influence, especially now from our society, the internet, the media, and whatever. And when we are young, we want to challenge the world, the institutions, everything that is subtle. Because we, for nature, we want to change things because we are changing as young adults. And sometimes we disagree, or at least we think that we disagree with the teachings of the church. And sometimes we're afraid that we're going to be rejected because, I don't know, we don't agree with birth control or maybe how things are handled in the church. And so they need to know that that's totally fine with us, that it is great to disagree, or at least not to understand. And then we say, you know, even though you're welcome and we can talk about it, and you can share with us your knowledge, your experiences, and let's bring it to the table.
Right.
And many times they would find out, that was my experience, they found out that they were not in disagreement with the church. Just they didn't know what really the teaching of the church was.
Exactly.
So when they knew about it, they said, oh, so that was not like what I heard in school. No, it was not. This is what it is.
And it's not what I heard in the street.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it's not the gossip. Mm-hmm. I mean, Elsie earlier talked about some of the work that she does, you know, with people who marriages haven't quite worked. Well, there's so much gossip out there on annulments and misinformation about what the church says that we have to allow these conversations and bring to the table.
And we need to take a short break. Thank you so much for being with us.
We'll have our conversation.
Fewer breaks, but just a few. So you are listening to The Light Show right here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And we are back with more of The Light Show with our special guests today, Elsie Radke, Elena Seguro. We have Mary Lou Gonzalez with us, Rita Katner, and Father Marco Mercado. And we are having just a wonderful conversation about young adults in the church.
Right. Our whole goal for our radio roundtable during this hour is to just, we're raising the question, talking about the phenomenon, and hope that those of you who are listening can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, well, I agree or disagree. Now, that's not the point, folks. The point is we need to listen to one another and have a conversation in our own homes. Elsie, when she was giving us her background, she began by saying, I'm a mother of young adults. Well, that brings in a whole bunch of conversations you've had with your kids and witnessed in your own children. And I think those kind of conversations are quite rich. When we... Right before we took our break, Father Marco, we were talking about the need for allowing this generation to have a conversation. What amazes me when I hear the word young adult, and I've been in this business for a few years, if someone were to say to me, is there one word you could use to describe young adults, that word would be diversity. It's a diversity Absolutely. Of thought, a diversity of lifestyle. It's a diversity of background, a diversity of belief. I mean, it is not a simple thing anymore. I mean, there was a time when everyone around this table, whether our roots are in Peru, Kate has roots that go back to Holland, and I imagine your dad was Dutch.
My dad was Dutch. My mom was Irish, so both
We all came from someplace.
Yeah.
And yet, they were simpler times, and immigrants sort of lined up, and the church was there to help them in a variety of ways. It got them jobs. It watched over them. I remember my dad, may he rest in peace, when he thought he was about to lose his job at the Rock Island Railroad, he believed he could go to Monsignor McMahon, and he really believed that he would help him find a job. There was something about our church that was there for its immigrant people, that was there for its simple people. Well, today, even our young adults that are not even that educated in formal ways still have this diversity of thought and opinion because they are so exposed to a popular culture.
Well, and that's the technology, John. The global nature of things. I have a couple of godsons down in Mexico, and I don't speak Spanish, and the older one doesn't speak English, so he's always Facebooking me. And now he's showing me his wife and his baby and his job, but I have to have someone translate all this for me.
Yeah.
And yet, whoever knew that me at this stage in life would be having a Facebook and having a chat with a 24-year-old in Guadalajara? Okay. So it's a global world.
It's a new world.
Technology has changed how we communicate.
Right.
When your father was leaving the Rock Island, my suspicion is there was such a close-knit community that of course it was expected that there would be support there.
Right.
I don't believe our young people have that anymore. Yeah. I believe the transient nature of life and jobs I met a gal the other day at a dinner, and she spends 6 days a week. She's a young adult. Commuting.
Yeah.
How do you build a connection to a parish if you're on a plane in an airport all the time?
Exactly.
So we have a structure in our church called parish that probably isn't necessarily fitting what young adults need, which is maybe why airport ministry is important. I don't know.
But see, I think you're right. I think that Kate and I received an email yesterday from Terry Shelley, who does a lot of our, who is a director of our Rura site out in Chicago Heights. And so he's got this huge, diverse community in that area. And he shared with us an email about a woman who couldn't come to his area-wide mass last Sunday. And she explained what her work week was like, and it was unbelievable. You wonder when she had time to sleep. I mean, going to school, one or two jobs.
Three jobs.
All different kinds.
Oh, my
just
gosh.
To make ends meet today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this, here's my insight then. If the local parish can't necessarily involve all young adults in the activities that it has, I believe that the importance of Sunday Mass becomes more and more important. Because it seems to me that if people are going to connect anywhere in the busyness of their lives, they are going to come to church, even on occasion. And then I think we have to ask ourselves, what is our responsibility?
Well, I know in my neighborhood, there are a lot of young people, but a lot of young people, and they have the church is where they wanted to find some kind of friends, because they don't, when they move in the neighborhood, they don't know anybody and they don't know what's around. But somehow the church, even if they hadn't been involved in it, it's a place that they could meet some people that are sort of like them. Mm-hmm. So we have to be really welcoming in those parishes. And mm-hmm. I hear it all the time. I work with parishes all over the diocese. And all the time the question comes up, how do we get young people back to church? Well, for one thing, you got to listen, as Father Marco said earlier, you have to listen to them. A lot of times they come up with great ideas, and everybody's so set in the way they do it, they're like, well, it's not how we do it here. Well, if you do that enough times, they're not going to come back.
But Rita, just maybe asking a question further what you're saying. Are we ready to listen? What I love about the theology on tap is, you know, for me it's a successful ministry. I did mention this before. And unfortunately it's only summer. It's a summer thing. Mm-hmm. And I have a sense that a lot of these people come to church regularly, some of them maybe, but a lot of them might not necessarily come back to church. They love theology and stuff. I know some of them. And how to create this infrastructure of listening. To me, the listening piece has to do a lot of with the aspect of trusting is the aspect when we talk young adult, responding to these young adults, that they are adults too, not young people are our perception. I'm talking about the church and also ourselves as our offices or something, our programs. Many times we treat them like Marie Lou has been saying before, you know, what's the voice of the young adults? We tend to do things in our own way. I have a young adult son. He's 20 years old, and my daughter is 22. She has Down syndrome. And I think my son, who really challenges me in many ways, but I'm learning a lot of things. And one very important thing, I think, in terms of I'm very blessed to have intimacy with my son. He trusts me in everything, mm-hmm. and thank God I learned that since you know this has been a long process for me. It was not just the last 2-3 years since he was born, and his spirituality is very beautiful, how he's been, but questions, it's very important. I always foster for him to ask any questions. My question regarding what you were just saying, Rita, was like, how the institutional church, are we open to listen? What strategies, ways? To me, theology on top of young adult, the work that you're doing here, it's a window. How could we open the window? How could we not just open in the summer, but other kinds of ways to listen to them, to welcome, to give them the voice and empower young adults and really help them in their in their quest for spirituality. Mm-hmm. There is hunger. Sure. There is hunger for spirituality. I see this all over. For me, the YouTube, the all this media stuff, it connection, all Facebooks, everything is it's the expression of the hungerness of all human beings, and particularly youth. And where is the community? Where is the community sure. of faith welcoming them? So that would be kind of.
Elena, you're making me think we need to have some sort of open forum for young adults, electronically share your thoughts. I know through Rita's office, through the council's office, the Archdiocesan Pastoral Council has a representative for young adults. And throughout the year, the Cardinal asks pointed questions, just looking for information from God's people throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we always send those to young adults, and we get some great feedback from those. Mm. But you're making me think that maybe we need a wider forum for people to express what's on their mind and filter that through our different department, our different agencies, and see what we can do to respond to those needs.
Before we take a break, let me share an insight that I've had in my 40 and a half years as a Catholic priest. I was ordained in 1970, so if you want to go back there, what you were really talking about were those early years after the Second Vatican Council. And there was a transition that was going on, and it was enormously exciting. And the transition was moving from an age where the church was really totally run by the clergy to being sensitive to the laity. So, but then other things began to occur. Then we began to say, well, it's not just laity. We have to look at this as women and men. What are the roles of women in our church? We always understood the roles of nuns, but I'm convinced, don't get me mad out there, sister, if you're listening, that I didn't know when I was a little kid if a nun was a man or a woman. I mean, it was just, that was sister, and it was just a different thing. And then it went to the next level. I think what we began to see as well is that we had a racial question, and we had to become very sensitive in our churches. How do we deal with racial issues? So we have laity, gender, race, and then we moved into culture. We began to realize that there is an expanding number of people in our archdiocese. Now, I would bet if the truth were told, our majority are people whose primary language is Spanish. Mm-hmm. So we've got laity, women, racial, and cultural. But the question we never looked at was age. You can have all the multiracial and multicultural ministries you want, but if everybody's aging, then we are missing the future. And I just want to raise that question to anybody who's listening today, that the immediate issue for Catholics is one of regeneration, moving younger people back into the life flow of our church. Kate, we need to break, am I right?
Michael, we need to break. Are we right? We need to break, Father Cusick. You're absolutely right. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We appreciate your time. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com.
view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and our guests from the Department of Parish Life and Formation. We again are the Catholic Church's outreach to young adults, people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. All of the agencies represented here around the table can be reached through the Archdiocese of Chicago's website, that is archchicago.org. So we invite you to contact them. We invite you always to contact us. We are at yamchicago.org.
And if you go to archchicago.org, you'll see all the different agencies that are listed. You'll see the Office for Immigrant Affairs and Hispanic Catholics and Councils and the Office of Family Life. And if you keep digging down a little deeper, you'll see that in the Office for Hispanic Catholics, the Office for Youth and Young Adults there, then and you'll if you go on their website, you're going to see that Mr. Jorge Rivera is the one who coordinates an awful lot of that work. And one of the wonderful gifts that Jorge brings, Marco, you can speak for him far better than I can, is that he's got an amazing way to bring younger Hispanics together. So not everything is placed on the parish, but once in a while you get these larger gatherings of people, and there's such a pride in the faith mm-hmm. and such a joy that he brings to the operation.
Yes, it is. And one of the most important things is let the young people be themselves.
Exactly.
And as Rita said, let them to create what they want to be part of. Because one of the challenges when, for example, in this ministry, the young adult ministry and in the parish, was that the young people, they want to create their own atmosphere. They want to be together, but they want to socialize. They want to be able to express themselves. Sometimes that becomes a little messy, which is fine, because it's messy and young is totally perfectly
what it is,
together.
Right. That's what it works.
Yes. And I think the temptation many times that we have in the church is we like to structure everything.
Oh yeah.
And we want to organize everything. And as you said, the church is run by, people over 40, 50.
Right.
So we try to organize and to structure everything according to our experience.
And our needs.
And our needs.
Yes.
And that's not really the reality of our young people.
Right.
I mean, what for us looks like messy and very not organized at all is it's okay. And we have to accept it as it is okay. They need guidance and they are very open to ask for it. But they want guidance. They don't want to be told what to do and how to do it because they don't know anything. And my experience in the parish was when we allow them to be themselves and to speak freely and even sometimes to disagree with whatever what's happening, whatever, they felt welcome. They felt part. They took ownership. And that was the moment when they started to participate in the activities and the programs and whatever. And unfortunately, I remember when we got a new priest, a very nice one, but he said, no, you know, this is too messy. It's a lot of young guys.
Ouch.
There were like 120 of them, and it is good that they are many, but they are not committed with their faith. They are not really knowing about what the Catholic Church is teaching, whatever. So they need some structure. They need some organization. So now they have to be on time. Now they have to do this, and they have to follow this program, and they have to learn the catechism, and they have to. So all suddenly we went from 120 to like 10.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
Yes. And he said, you know, that's Richard. Right, because we don't want numbers. We just want quality. Mm. And I said, well, that's some truth, man. But I mean, 120 was very messy, yeah. And yeah, many of them, they were just hanging around and looking for the girls and the girls looking for the boys. And it's okay. I mean, we had
absolutely
a lot of holy marriages coming from our youth groups.
Absolutely.
Yes. Jesus' ministry was
let
messy.
Let them be. And then let's see what we can learn from them and help them out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And not being all the way around.
But see, we also have to understand that we are symbolic in their lives. If they can come with the messiness of their lives, a bunch of young people, and say, I hung out at the church, mm-hmm. we must understand, first of all, how important that is.
Well, John, how many of the 60s and 70s teenagers did sock hops and hung out at church every Friday and Saturday? We were weaned on that stuff.
Absolutely.
But I'm listening to Father Mercado, and I think some of the problem is, and Stephanie Kuntz, who's an anthropologist, did a recent report on the trauma and the chaos of the 60s and 70s, the social revolution, the Vietnam War, the drugs, all of that. Well, all of us that grew up in that really needed to get some control over things. So now here we are 40 years later, and we need to regulate everything. And yet we went through that same kind of messiness. We went through the long hair of that. And now, heaven forbid, I mean, I remember when my father died, I thought, oh, my gosh, they're leaving us in charge. You know, that's a pretty scary thought. Yet that's what we have to do. We have to make a place for the younger generation, whatever their messiness and chaos is. And we need to learn from them, frankly, because their faith in some ways is cleaner and purer than ours.
Marco, when I was a young priest, I did an awful lot of work with young people in the parish, and we had hundreds involved. And some of those young people today are in their 50s already, and I'm at that point in life where I'm now burying some of their parents. Well, three of them who were real close to me when they were in high school, we were out for dinner one night, and two nights before we were burying one of the guy's dads. And my friend Mark at the table said something, Elsie, which made me sad. He said he has three kids. They were in college already then. And he said, my greatest sadness is that my kids will not have a relationship to the church as I did. They don't know a priest.
Yes.
And Mark certainly was not a goody two-shoe all his life, but we had these key moments in the messy years where they were a part of the church. Mm-hmm. They believed in it. We were important people in their lives. Mm-hmm. My first pastor said to me, he said one day, and I was only about 25 years old, he said, John, please understand, you have a greater impact in the lives of young people in our parish than does the Holy Father. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then does the Cardinal. And that's not putting them down. It's that they see you all the time.
It's mm-hmm. the relationship.
That's right. It
was the relationship.
And so please, folks, we're going to be wrapping this up in just a second. But maybe what we're saying here is, let us listen to our young people. And please, let's open the doors of our church. Literally, physically open the doors.
Physically.
Right. And understand that we were their age.
Yes.
And we weren't, you know, perfect. We all struggled. And yet, by God and by the grace of God, here are seven people at a radio roundtable in March 2011 who have made it. We've gone through the struggles, and the church has been there for us. And that's really a blessing.
So we just want to say thanks to all of our guests for being with us. Elsie Radke from the Family Ministries Office, Elena Segura and Mary Lou Gonzalez from the Immigrant Affairs Office, Rita Katner from the Council's Office, Father Mercado from the Hispanic Ministry Office, and along with him, Jorge Rivera, who is not with us, but certainly doing great things in the Hispanic Ministry Office, specifically for young adults. We are so grateful that you were with us, and We're good. But thank you for being with us. We will continue this conversation next month, so stay tuned. Have a great, great, great day. Blessings upon all.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
With your Spirit, send us to shine, radiant with your glory.